It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My man Manny on the other side likes this song way too much. Little Genuine to get you going. 9:05. As you just heard from Marco, a little bit of a rally here. Muncy with a base hit. It kind of hung up. Otani at second base wasn't sure if it was going to drop or be caught, so he was unable to go home. So now I got the bases loaded with Teoscar Hernandez up in the third. We'll still take your Yankee phone calls as I'm still extremely excited that the Yankees are up 2-0 in the ALCS as they head to Cleveland looking to shut it down early and wait on one of these two teams to win 4 games. I expect the series to go long, whatever happens tonight. I think the winner of this game obviously has an advantage in the series, but I do expect this to go 6-7 games no matter who wins tonight. And hopefully the Yankees can shut it down early, get another two quick wins out in Cleveland because they are better than the Guardians, as we've been talking about here a lot. And await whoever wins this series. But we'll still take your calls on all of that. But let's transition a little bit to the football and the New York Giants, who got devastating news today that Andrew Thomas had surgery on his foot to deal with a Liz Frank injury, and he's going to be gone the entire season. And we saw what this team looks like. Now, I know they've improved on the offensive line, and I understand this new offensive line coach from Vegas has done a really nice job with this group, and they've been as good as they've been for a long time. But I think this injury impacts this team in so many different ways. One, you're losing your best offensive lineman. You're losing your Pro Bowl left tackle, blindside protector, who is so important to this team. And we saw what this team looked like without him last year after he hurt himself chasing down the Cowboys after a blocked field goal in week 1 of the season. And I just think right now he impacts this team in so many ways. And you just heard the clip there. You heard Brian Daboll, the head coach, talking about Azudu. Like, yeah, right now, Evan Neal, the first round draft pick. That's right. That's right. A top 10 pick in the NFL draft is working out as maybe the right tackle in case there's another injury to this offensive line. And Azudu is going to be getting all the work at left tackle. And here's the problem with that. The Giants are 2-4. And I know every conversation comes back to the quarterback, but there's just no escaping it. And we know how this team feels about Daniel Jones. I understand they paid him. I understand he's played better a little bit at times while still not playing good enough to win football games. They were all about trying to move on from him in the offseason, and that's what they're going to look to do in this offseason. There's just no way around it. And now you look at a 2-4 season, right, with Daniel Jones at quarterback. And now I don't have protection for his blind side. The real great talented, I know offensive lines are so much about group and melding and communication and knowing what the guy to your left and right is going to do. And it's so important of gelling together. And it's not always, I mean, let's be honest. Chris Snee was a great guard and a really talented lineman. But those groups, you know, Kareem McKenzie had a long career. David Deal was a really great left tackle, and you know, O'Hara was a solid center, but that group wasn't made up of the greatest of linemen. They were just a really solid group that knew how to play together, and that's why they were such a great offensive line for those, 07, 08, 09 Giant teams. But to lose your starting left tackle, I'm very concerned about what this offensive line is going to look like in just the impact of, A, winning the game, playing well this week, but B, protecting this quarterback who, I'm sorry, there is a worst case scenario for this Giants football team. And I'm big on shooting for best case scenario and avoiding worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario for this Giant football team, bar none, is Daniel Jones getting hurt and being guaranteeing his contract for next year. Losing every game the rest of the year is disgusting. It's miserable. Nobody wants a part of it. It's not worst case scenario. It's not. Worst case scenario is losing all of those games, but having a Daniel Jones injury that secures his $23 million being on the books next year. That's worst case scenario. Feeling like you have to have Daniel Jones, the year of Daniel Jones, take seven. That's the worst case scenario. And as I look at this team right now, and at 2-4, I'm not ready to go into my evil nature of wanting the tank. I am a tank guy. Hi, my name is Chris McMonagle, and I am a tank guy. I hate it. It's my least favorite characteristic. But I believe in doing what's best for the franchise. And once a season is dead, or I believe it's on the verge of being dead, or I no longer have faith in the positive outcome of said season, I believe in the NFL. Change the rules if you want. But the way the rules are presently constituted, the New York Giants will benefit most from losing games. I felt that last year, and I don't want to already do it at 2-4. I don't. But the state of this team and the state of the offensive line, and now without Andrew Thomas protecting his blind side, and the nature of Daniel Jones and some of my fears about him not picking up the blitz, even in year six, not understanding how the offensive line works, you know, still allowing himself to be blindsided by edge rushers off the edge when he doesn't see them, and then his ability to run, and then his inability to slide and get down and avoid contact, and the guts and the grittiness and the toughness he does show, you know, ducking his shoulder into players when he shouldn't be. Like, all of this now gives me another element and another fear of Daniel Jones going down injured. And that is the worst case scenario of being locked in to this contract and locked into another year of Daniel Jones. And so all this does for me is really put another element of fear into what this season can become. And I don't want to feel like this already, but the Giants put me there. I don't know what other way to feel now losing Andrew Thomas to really have any faith in this team. Now, maybe they play great on Sunday, and suddenly I have a much better feel for it. But the fact of the matter is, right now, this injury is a devastating one. This injury is one that makes me feel that the future of the organization has a case of it being worst case scenario. Like, it impacts so much, because a Daniel Jones injury would be devastating to this team. And I know I don't like to play scared. I don't want to go out there and fear Daniel Jones's injury, but ultimately it's what the future of the franchise is about. Because, and here's the other thing. I think the coach went in with a little bit of a hot seat nature. A lot of people downplayed it. I did believe the coach had to show something. And as much as they are 2-4 and they find ways to lose, and he made the same mistake with the kicker, God knows that pissed me off. Like, there's plenty to not be happy about Brian Daboll. I do think he's answered some questions. I feel good about him moving forward. And unless, you know, the owner has his mind set up on a possible Bill Belichick reunion, and Bill Belichick is all about it, and I'm not even sure whatever happens could change that. Like, if Bill Belichick comes to the owner and the owner has his mind made up on how do I turn down the greatest head coach in NFL history, I think that could happen no matter what we see from Brian Daboll. But in my mind, I feel better about the head coach, and I feel like they're going to move forward with this tandem of coach GM. Right, I think he's done a pretty good. This draft has turned out to be pretty good. Some of the defensive backs they took, some of the draft pieces around, have looked better in this draft. The rookie class has looked okay here. So I feel like there's a good relationship between coach and GM moving forward. I have faith in that. I think they're going to stick with that. So as long as that's answered, and as long as Brian Daboll is going to be the head coach, I really have no fear of the season going in a tailspin, because I don't believe the coach will get fired. If they pull the quarterback from him to keep them from this worst-case scenario moving forward, because they don't have faith in the offensive line, they don't have faith in the season, and they don't want to have the risk of Daniel Jones on the books next year. And they pull their quarterback from him and make him play Locke or make him play DeVito, and this season spins out of control, I don't think it costs the coach's job. So as long as I feel sturdy about the hands they're in as far as GM and coach, and I kind of do, and I know that dealing with a young quarterback is something I want to give this coach an opportunity to do, we're getting closer and closer from putting a bookend on this season, pulling Daniel Jones to avoid that worst-case scenario, and just focusing on where they can be next year. And I know that sucks, and I hate saying it. There was one injury that could force me to really start to think about that faster than I even wanted to, and that was Andrew Thomas. Now, again, the offensive line might come together. Azudu might do a good job this week and curtail my fears, but that's my fear of this injury. Not only does it hamper their ability to win the game this week or turn this season around, not only does it scare me that a big man with feet issues is something that could hamper his career the entire way, but now I got to worry about worst case scenario and stabilizing this franchise and making sure a quarterback they don't believe in, I don't believe in, hasn't given us enough of a reason over the first 6 years of his career to believe in, could be on the books at $23 million, hampering their ability to doing anything else at the most important position in the sport. And that's why this team is in disarray. And that's why, if you ask me which team, like at 2-4, like I'm talking more positive about the Jets bringing in Devontae Adams and, you know, the idea of possibly turning their season around, I feel more stable because they have Aaron Rodgers. And they're also in a situation where it doesn't matter. It's all in. Go try and win. They're not going to draft another quarterback. I'm assuming if they're bringing Devontae Adams in here and he's got multiple years, they might have to give him another contract. I think Rodgers is not going to want to have the embarrassment of this season be his final note of his career. I think he's probably willing to stay here and hopefully turn this thing around and pick his next head coach and all of that stuff. Like, there is no building for the future. This is the Jets. They're going for it. The Giants, it's in a different thing. It's a different animal. They're trying to possibly rebuild for the future and take this coach and GM and turn this thing around. They're retooling the defense. They've added some weapons at the offense. All they're missing is the quarterback. Like, it's different. It's just different. And the Giants right now, this injury just feels like another step towards the ultimate disaster of a season that probably needs to start happening right away. And it's so dejecting to talk about. As I'm watching the Mets in the NLCS, the Yankees have a 2-0 lead in the ALCS, I'm freaking, every time I think about the Giants, I get more depressed. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls real quick. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
Hey, so I'm watching the Met game, and the Yankee threw it to a Yankee to start the game. Then there's a Yankee on the mound. Then there's a Yankee in the dugout. And then there's a Yankee in the other dugout. The Yankee game. I mean, really.
The Yankee threw it to a Yankee? Which one was that? What are you talking about?
Well, Gooden threw it to Doc.
Oh, is that how they started the game, Gooden and Doc? Okay, yeah.
They were both ex-Yankees, and you got a Yankee on the mound pitching.
Why did I think Cespedes? Is that tomorrow night? Well, I thought the first pitch. Oh, that's for game 5?
He fell in a hole.
I understand that, but I think he's healed up, believe it or not.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. And I'm surprised he's back, to be totally honest with you. The last we remember of Cespedes with the Mets is he abandoned them during the 60 game. I wouldn't welcome him back. He just abandoned the team.
He didn't want to get off his horse at the farm. But listen, I think something about the Yankee fans, which you know I am, you sit there and the crowd's not going crazy. Sometimes I think we are a little too fat and happy because of all the World Series victories. And I think sometimes it comes off that way, like where we complain about the littlest things. But that's what we do. That's what we do. We're fans.
Yeah. That's
I'm
it.
Getting attacked here.
Oh, there he hangs up. I thought we were talking about the Giants. Maury, you wanted to talk about the Giants. Oh, my God. I got to turn this phone off. It's never ending. The amount of text.
Oh, that was me that time.
Oh, you're sending me a text message?
Yeah, it was the list of the ceremonial first pitch.
Yeah, I guess I heard it wrong. I thought it was that's game 5, Harvey and Cespedes. Robin Ventura and Edgardo Alfonso game 4, and this was Strawberry and Gooden. Yeah, I mean, listen, they're Mets. Certainly Doc Gooden is a Met. I mean, I know he threw a no-hitter for the Yankees, and everybody, you know, and he did pitch for them. He won a championship with them. And then I have to admit, his speech in his ceremony, and he talked about going to the Yankees and winning a World Series. I was like, oh, leave that part out. He said, and then when I went to 2000, he was talking about every year I wanted to try and call. I would call the Mets. I would have my agents call the Mets. Hey, you interested? No. Interested? No. 2000, I called them. I said, you interested? No. So then I went to the Yankees and, you know, won the World Series. Yeah, you beat the Mets. You remember that one? Oh, my goodness. The Mets do not score. Alonso hit one I thought off the bat had a chance. Died at the warning track. Still 2-0 L.A. as we head to, what are we heading to, Manny? I'm sorry, I'm trying to do both things here. Oh, you need to see it too. What inning are we heading to? The fourth, I'm assuming?
Yes, end of the third.
End of the third, 2-0 Dodgers. Let's get back to the calls. Actually, no, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Giant fans, are you as pessimistic as I am? And I know I'm a pessimistic Giant fan. And I know I'm Mr. Yankee Shill, everything's positivity. You know why? Because they win all the time. But here we are with the Giants. A devastating injury. It's hard to garner any enthusiasm for this game against the Eagles. You know Saquon Barkley's coming in. We'll have a conversation about whether or not he's going to get cheered or booed. We'll get to that. I don't give a damn. I don't care about Saquon Barkley. Haven't cared about him since he signed the contract with the Eagles. He's no longer a Giant. No, I don't care. But we'll get into his comments on whether or not he expects to be booed and just the nature of fans today in the free agency time period, and when your team doesn't want him, is it fair game for him to go to your biggest rival? But as they get ready for this game, I know the Eagles have struggled. I know the Eagles aren't what they were 2 years ago. I understand they barely got past Cleveland in that disaster that is the Browns. It's really hard to envision this season becoming anything positive, and the idea of having to turn immediately to what's best for the franchise and what's best for next year and what's best for the future as opposed to what's best for this season really just puts me in a foul mood. 888, let me know how you feel about it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. More of your phone calls right after this on The Fan. All right, 927. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. The Mets get through the top of the fourth, head to the bottom of the fourth, down 2-0. And we talked about the Giants, and for me, this game against Philadelphia, it feels like, and I know it's early, but you almost got to start tanking early, otherwise it doesn't even help. If they don't win this game and they go to 2-5 and then, you know, are, you know, winless against the division, it's probably time that I'm considering pulling Daniel Jones. And if the offensive line looks bad, if Azudu does not play well, and Daniel Jones is getting hit from the blind side and he doesn't play well, and this Eagles team brings a ton of pressure and they get sacked a bunch, and you know, it looks like there's if any other lineman goes down or anything like that, like, I'm not messing around. I'm avoiding worst case scenario because I don't believe best case scenario is available to them. Like, worst case scenario is Daniel Jones hurt, this team loses anyway, and then Daniel Jones is the quarterback next year, or at least on the roster next year, because the money's guaranteed. Worst case scenario. And chasing a season at 2-5 feels like that's as good a time as any to start making sure to avoid worst case scenario and put this franchise in better standing with an opportunity to be at the top of the draft. I hate to say that. But Monday morning, we could be having that discussion. At least I would be. I'd be having that discussion about how much sense it makes to play Daniel Jones. And I heard Marash give an argument about developing the weapons around him and Malik Nabers. Does Malik Nabers look like he needs development? Like, the only thing with Malik Nabers is now developing, you know, a relationship with the quarterback. And that's it. You know how talented he is. He can run every route. He stepped into the NFL and was putting up numbers that nobody's put up before in the first three games of their careers. I mean, he doesn't need real development. He's ready to go. Is that Sean? He doesn't need development. I don't think Daniel Jones is helping to develop Malik Nabers. I don't really see a positive in playing Daniel Jones after this week if they lose. I don't. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. John and Frederick.
Stop, y'all. Stupid. That's stupid.
Okay. It's stupid. He sounded like he was ready to say something I couldn't have on air. So we let him go. If he calls back, and I think he was calling from Fredericks, was that Maryland or Virginia? Because the Fredericks in Virginia, Fredrickson or Fredericks, Virginia, is where I stop on the way to Disney and get breakfast at the Great Cracker Barrel. We always stop at the Fredericks, Virginia Cracker Barrel. And we don't get the trout as my man John Minko suggested one time. John Minko's the kind of guy who goes to Cracker Barrel and gets the trout for dinner. I mean, I understand that it might not be as bad as I'm thinking it is, but you don't go to Cracker. You know where you go to Cracker? You go to Cracker Barrel and you get cheap eggs and sausage and pancakes and you fill up for you feel like you got a bargain for your breakfast and that's it. You don't go there and get the wild caught salmon. That's not what you do at Cracker Barrel. You don't go to IHOP. I mean, although IHOP has options, I'm like, if you go to IHOP and get the fajitas, something's wrong.
What do you do at Waffle House?
I get waffles. That's what I do. I don't think I've ever been to a Waffle House.
No, really?
Never been to a Waffle House. And I like waffles. I have a waffle maker. We make a lot of waffles around the house for breakfast with the kids.
All those trips to Florida, you never stepped foot into a Waffle House?
Well, I mean, we've had 3 trips to Florida, and we're busy.
Borderline un-American.
Yeah, I got to stop at a Waffle House. Oh, listen, waffles and chicken.
I had some the other day.
All about it.
Yeah.
All about waffles and chicken. One of the best things, the first time I ever went to, the first time I was ever enough lucky enough to be graced with Mike Francesa's seats at the, you know, he had front row seats right behind home plate, the Legend Suites.
Yeah, of course.
And the first time he gave me the Legends, one of the carving stations was chicken and waffles. It was delicious. And I remember going with Monzo, and Monzo's, you know, eating all the crab legs, and Monzo's eating all the sushi and all the expensive stuff. And he's like, why are you filling up on, you know, waffles and chicken tenders? I'm like, these aren't chicken tenders, bro. This chicken's delicious. You find something good, I don't care what it is. I'm not a snob with food at all. Like, when I go to places like that, I don't need, like, all the... I understand the crab legs, you want to go for the stuff you don't normally eat, but if, like, they've perfected chicken and waffles, I'm not just scoffing at it because I got to go have the expensive, you know, steak that might not be as, you know, well prepared, or I don't know, but like the chicken and waffles are on point. Cheese in my belly! I don't even remember saying that. I'm stupid! Well, that I remember saying quite often. 888-808-1019. A little bit of the Jets as we're riding along with the Met game. Now 2 outs in the bottom of the 4th inning, 2-0 Dodgers. You know, they pull off the trade for Devontae Adams, the Jets, and yeah, I'm still more positive on the Jets. I believe the Jets can turn this thing around. I do. I know I'm very pessimistic about the Giants, and I'm positive about the Jets. You know why? Because they have Aaron Rodgers, and I know what Aaron Rodgers has looked like for most of the season. I thought he played well the other night. I do. I thought he played well Monday night. They had an opportunity to win that game. Enough with the text message.
That wasn't me, though.
I know it wasn't you. No, it's my son's Little League group chat. There was a meeting with the Little League, and they're voting on something, and I apologize, guys. I'm not going to be able to vote on it. Love my Little League group chat, but it's a bit much at the moment. It's hard. I'm trying to work here. But I'm positive on the Jets because I still believe in Aaron Rodgers. And now Devontae Adams is going to come here. He's going to play. I expect this offense to pick up. Now, do they still have the same issues? Of course. Does this fix all of their problems? No. They still have problems with penalties. They still have problems stopping the run. They still have problems with the offensive line. But you can't tell me communication between the wide receivers and the quarterback has not been a problem. Because I'll tell you, all the problems with the penalties, all the problems with stopping the run, all the problems with the offensive line, I will tell you, if you fixed, and all the problems with the field goal kicker, if you fixed the problem of being on the same page with the offensive court, with the quarterback and the wide receiver, if you just fixed that problem and kept all the other problems the Jets have, the Jets beat Buffalo and the Jets beat Denver. Now, they would still have the same issues, and I would still be worried about them moving forward. And those problems would have to be fixed if they were going to get to where I thought they could get, the AFC Championship game. But they are 4-2 if the communication between the wide receivers and the quarterbacks was better. And you're bringing in one of the best receivers in the game. I don't know if he'll play to the same level that he played a couple years ago, but I still believe he can be a top receiver in this league. And him and Aaron Rodgers at least have the communication ship down. I don't think communication ship is a word, but that's what came out. They still have the communication down. He will help the other receivers. He's going to help Garrett Wilson. I was worried. My number one reason when this was obviously has been a possibility for a long time. My concern with it was I didn't want to hinder the relationship between Garrett Wilson, the clear number one wide receiver, with Aaron Rodgers. I was worried about throwing in Devontae Adams into that mix and suddenly that relationship emerges as the strong one in the offense, and I wanted to build with Wilson, and I thought this could hinder it. But since they can't get it together on their own, I don't have the luxury, if I'm the New York Jets, to wait for that relationship to blossom. And for a third-round pick, you're bringing in Devontae Adams. This offense should be better. And they have an opportunity over the next 2 weeks against Pittsburgh and against the Patriots to get back to 500. And if they do that, and this offense does look better, and Devontae Adams helps with this passing game, you're going to feel a lot better about the Jets. And the bottom line with the Jets is they're in a position where they have to do everything they can to try and win. Plain and simple. They are in win-now mode. There's no messing around. There's no tanking for the future. There's not trying to develop a, you know, draft and develop a quarterback and move on and rebuild. This is an all-out win right now. The coach, the GM, gets fired if the Jets do not make the playoffs right now. This is an all-in move that I'm expecting should help this team. And honestly, I'm not ready to give up on the season. I still think the Jets, I mean, like, and I've used this example, I used it the other day. A Jet fan who's pessimistic about this team, and I understand why, would you tell me that the Cincinnati Bengals are done at 2-4? I would venture to say you wouldn't say that. That you would have faith in Joe Burrow and that offense. But they're 2-4, they're in the same spot. The Jets are more than capable of figuring out this season. 888-808-1019. We'll come back. We'll take your calls on the football. We'll take your calls on the Giants and Jets. We'll talk a little bit about Saquon Barkley as he gets ready to come in to New York. And I'm curious how he believes he is going to get anything other than resounding boos from this crowd. We'll see what you think. Giant fans, let me know if you're going to the game. Do you plan on booing Saquon Barkley? Do you plan on cheering Saquon Barkley at least before the game starts? I can't imagine it, but we'll figure that out. We'll obviously keep a roll watching the Mets game, who now they are in the top of the fifth. Otani up, the top of the lineup. Nobody out. Otani just flew out to right field. I want to be careful with the play-by-play, but one out, top of the fifth. Dodgers and Mets, 2-0 Dodgers here on The Fan. Come back, take your football calls and your Yankee calls as we get ready for Game 3 tomorrow night. Clark Schmidt on the mound. What can we expect from Clark Schmidt? And can this offense and Judge break through and make against a left-hander in Boyd and maybe make these games that, you know, we're all uncomfortable winning close games, blowouts, and make the Yankee fans feel a little bit better as they'll get ready for a World Series waiting on the Dodgers and the Mets. Two more wins to do it, but you got to feel good if you're a Yankee fan. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll come back. Take your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock. Force of habit. What are you going to do? All the way to midnight right here on The Fan. It's
better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 9:45, McMonagle here with you. Top of the fifth, two outs. Freeman with a single, a walk to Muncy, and out came Mendoza, and out came Severino. They're bringing in Reed Garrett. Two outs into the fifth. Runners on first and second. Dodgers up 2-0. A pivotal moment in this game. And earlier in the inning, Francisco Lindor made just a wonderful play at shortstop on a hard hit ball by Mookie Betts. Just an incredible defensive play. And, I mean, it makes me want to talk. And we could do this after the show or after the game, excuse me. After the show, I'm not doing this. I promise you. If you want to call me after the show, I am not talking Lindor and Gold Glove. Not doing it. But the idea Lindor was snubbed, and he was. I mean, he's clearly, he's had a tremendous year defensively, too. He is one of the top three shortstops in the National League. It's embarrassing he's not. I mean, and the Yankees caught, I mean, I know, I've talked about how Soto is better defensively than everybody told me he was. He's not a top three right fielder. He's not. I was told he would be the worst right fielder in the sport. He's not that either, but he's certainly not a Gold Glove caliber right fielder. I know he's had a lot of outfield assists, so I think that's probably why he was there. He's thrown out a lot of people, and in the postseason too, threw a runner out, threw Salvador Perez out of the plate in a big spot. He's been really good with his arm, but I mean, he's had a ton of misplays out in right field. He is not a Gold Glover. And Lindor, not only is he an MVP, having an incredible offensive season, he is an incredible defensive shortstop. And he absolutely, absolutely should be a top three Gold Glove candidate. He just made a great play. And Reed Garrett comes in and does the job. He throws a couple of breaking balls over the plate. He throws me a get-me-over slider that I thought Teoscar Hernandez missed his opportunity in that pitch. Just absolute get-me-over slider. Gets ahead in the count 0-2 and then throws a splitter in the dirt. He swings over it. Strike three. And we head to the bottom of the fifth. You know, Severino wasn't great in this game. We'll get to it at, you know, after the game. Met fans, we will talk about the game after right here on The Fan. You want to join me as soon as the game ends? We'll do a lot more Mets. Severino shaky in this game. Can't get out of the fifth. Throws 95, 96 pitches. Got lucky. They couldn't. Well, listen, they played terrible defense behind him in that inning. Was it the second inning where they scored the two runs? He played bad defense. They played bad defense up until the moment where he got saved on a Edmonds double into the gap and just in a tremendous catch from Tyrone Taylor to save it. And then he settled in. They do get three zeros there from him. I know they needed the last out from Reed Garrett, but a shaky performance. But, hey, one of those things where he's kept them in the game. And Mendoza did the right call going to Reed Garrett. I would have not allowed Severino to face. We were talking about here in the – me and Manny were talking about, do you come get him? Absolutely. 95, 96 pitches. Teoscar Hernandez up. You let the last two guys on. That was the spot to go get him. Ken in South Point. Ken, you there?
Yeah, hi. Good evening.
What's going on, Ken? How are we?
We're doing great. You know, Yankees up 2-0. We're feeling good. We're on our way to Cleveland. So I just wanted to talk about how Judge finally got out of his slump and was able to get that clutch home run. And, you know, hopefully that gets him going for these crucial three games in Cleveland, you know?
Yeah, no, listen, obviously I hope he decides to wake up here. They've been able to win without him, and here's what I'll say. Like, I still think they can win this series without Judge going off. And you never know, they might be able to win the whole World Series without him going off. I'd be surprised. But we've talked about how they need him. And it's amazing how they really haven't. But if they ever get him, like, this team right now has done enough. I know we're, like, not happy with him, and that's been a lot of the discussion of this show, that even despite winning, a lot of Yankee fans aren't happy with the way they played and the inability to come through with runners in scoring position a lot. But a lot of that's been Judge. I mean, he's come through big time in the first inning and hasn't done a damn thing. If he ever does get going, this offense is going to be explosive right now. I mean, Gleyber Torres is getting on base almost every time up. He's giving you great at-bats. Soto's doing his thing. If Judge ever does get hot, then yeah. I mean, this series could be quick, and I expect this Yankee offense to be dynamic. And hopefully that's the kind of thing you never know. Sometimes it's a dying quail, as they put it in, as Kevin Costner once said in Bull Durham. It could be a base hit off the fists. It could be a miserable swing where you just hit it off the end of the bat and bloop it over the first baseman's head. Or sometimes it could be a bomb of a home run. something's going to have to snap him out of it. But I have the utmost confidence. Like, that's the thing with Judge. This whole narrative of him not being able to hit in the postseason is just dumb. Yes, he had a bad 80 at-bats. And that's not a small sample size. I'm not diminishing the idea that he's really struggled and that it had been more than just a couple games in this postseason. But the idea he was incapable of it, or that this was going to persist forever, and that he's Mr. May and all this stuff, if given enough chances, he's going to come through. He's got 14 home runs in the postseason. It's not like he's never hit one. It's not like he's been an absolute disaster in the postseason. He's just not been himself. And he needs to start coming through, and hopefully that home run is the first of many. And if he gets hot, you know how he is when he's hot. You can't get him out. And if that's the Aaron Judge that is going to show up in Cleveland, good luck to the Guardians, because they haven't even come close to beating the Yankees when Aaron Judge has struggled. But I'll tell you, that home run, I'm hoping it's one of those home runs where he hit a dead center field, so he's working opposite field straight away. That's a good sign. He didn't even get all of it, and it carried out through the winds to deep center field. You know how strong he is, for sure. So, I mean, hopefully that's what gets him going. Because this Yankee team right now, and I said, I'm fed up with some of the narrative around this team. This team's done, I don't know how you could be unhappy as a Yankee fan. Like, I just don't know how you could be unhappy. They're up 2 games to none. 2 games to none. In the ALCS, they're 2 wins away from their first World Series since 2009. We act like this isn't what we wanted. We got to blow out Cleveland. Don't let other people don't let the other narrative around from Met fans and Yankee haters get you all hung up on what it should be and how many runs they should score and how they should be playing. They're winning these games. Like, it just drives me nuts. We should be thrilled right now. If you're a Yankee fan and you're not thrilled, I don't understand you. And there's so many. I'll literally go through my timeline on Facebook, on Twitter, and give you all the nonsense that I hear on a daily basis. The vitriol for this team, like, honestly, Yankee fans, let me give you a message. Get out of your own heads. Stop hating Brian Cashman. Stop hating Aaron Boone. Wake up and recognize where those two guys put you. And yes, it's been unfortunate for the last 15 years. That's a long drought for the New York Yankees. Brian Cashman has made a bunch of decisions that haven't worked. Totally true. But allow yourself to get into this team, because they're 2 wins away from the World Series. 2 wins away. We will wake up tomorrow, game day of a Game 3 series at 4 o'clock, and an opportunity for the New York Yankees to take the next 2 days and wait for the Mets or Dodgers in the World Series. And that used to be a guarantee. I tell the story a lot. I remember it had to be, I don't know, the second, the last week of September. I don't even think the Yankees had made the playoffs yet. And this is either 2000 or maybe even 1999. I think it's 99. And the Yankees, the playoffs haven't even started yet. And homecoming of that football season for my high school was going to be, that week was going to be around the time of the World Series. It was going to be the end of October. And our coach sat us down weeks ahead of time and prepared us and warned us for skipping school and going to games or skipping school and going to the parade. I'm not kidding. He talked to us about what happens if when the Yankees win the World Series, you better not miss time. That's how much a guarantee it was the Yankees were going to the World Series. They were going to win the World Series. I was getting talked to by my football coach about not missing time for the parade. And they were either, this playoffs had just started, or they were in the ALDS. And it was, hey, don't mess around. Again, Mr. Banky, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Not Mr. Banky, but I am sorry. That's how much a fait accompli they were going to the World Series, and now it's been 15 years, and we're not happy at the way they're 5-1 in the postseason, and we're not happy at the way they're up 2 games to none in the ALCS, and we're not happy about who they've played, and we're not happy about Judge struggling a little bit, and we're not happy. Be happy, you dopes. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. We'll come back and take you the rest of the 2 hours here on The Fan. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.